be. It lasted during the time of David, and then during the time of Shlomo, and then comes the split in the kingdom. What was the split in the kingdom? Who was Yerovam ben Nevat who established the kingdom over the 10 tribes? He was a great administrator. Shlomo HaMelech saw that this man has great talent. He's a builder. You can depend on him. He broke off from Malchus based David. Tragic. But it didn't have to be necessarily for all time as tragic as it seemed at the beginning. Because while Yosef, Ephraim, the 10 tribes, the leadership of the 10 tribes, had the great ability of building and fighting and creating and forming and forging, it was Yehuda that had the great spiritual life forces of the Jewish people. Would they have understood? Would they have understood? Would they have realized that they need one another? That they have to work in harmony with one another? And could they have worked out some kind of an arrangement? Yes. Maybe two kingdoms between the Mediterranean and the Yarden, two Jewish kingdoms. Would they have been able to work in harmony with one another, and each one, in a sense, giving to the other what the other is lacking? Yehovah ben Nevat would have given his great administrational ability, and would the kings of Yehuda have given their spiritual strength, still could have saved Klal Yisrael. And in fact, that's how Rav Kook understands the Gemara. The Gemara says that God appeared to Yerovam ben Nevat and he told him, Chazor v'cha, do tshuva. Vani v'ata ben Yishai. Are you and Ben Yishai, the son of Yishai, the king from the house of David, Yetayel v'yachad, we're going to walk together through Gan Eden. The Rishon is offering him, all right, let's share it. Let's share it. Me, you, and the house of David. And the response that comes from Yerovam is, Mi Barosh, who's going to be at the head? Me or Ben Yishai? And God's immediate response is, Ben Yishai. It's obvious. It's obvious that the material life force of the Jewish people cannot lord it over the spiritual life force. Ultimately, everything must be infused with the great spiritual growth, with that dimension, with that vision, moving in that direction. And because he refused, what happened was, the tragedy remained a tragedy, and the two life forces were never brought in harmony with one another. Well, need an administrator, you need a rabbi. When it comes to Tekus Notice especially.
Yes.
Achav was a Rasha. Achav was a Rasha. But Achav was at the same time, he was a great patriot. He was a great patriot. Just the description of his death. Achav the Rasha, as he dies, he goes out to battle in Ramoth Gilead against the enemies of Israel. V'ish Moshar v'keshet l'tumo, I'm reading from Malachim Aleph, chapter 22. A man pulled back on his bow, quite innocently, by Yakeh et Melech Yisrael, and he hid the king of Israel. Bein hadvakim u'bein hashiryon. made its way through his coat of mail. Nobody was aiming at him. The arrow flew. I mean, we most probably would say that every arrow has an address. It was an address. And it made its way through the coat of mail. And King Achav, in this battle, is hit. He said to the one who was driving his chariot, "Hafok yotcha, v'hutzi'eni min hamachaneki hafaleti, take me out of the camp." But that's not what he does at the end. He says he's ill. He's not feeling well. He doesn't tell the one who's driving his chariot that he's been mortally wounded. You know what he had his rider do for him? With all the strength that he had, he remained standing tall in his chariot until evening. And he died in the evening. Chazal say, and it's clear from the story, we're talking about a man who understood that if he is going to leave the scene of battle, Israel will flee. And he's not going to do that. He may even think that if he'll get medical attention now, his life may yet be saved. But he's not going to leave the camp. He doesn't leave his chariot. He stands in the chariot until the end of the day, and he dies. Chazal say, Achav, great hero, such courage, such bravery, such patriotism. There's a story earlier in Tanakh that says that when Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, had surrounded Shomron and wanted everything in Shomron, he wanted the wives of Achav, his children, everything of him. And then finally he sends another message. He wants called Machmad Yisrael. He wants the most desirable thing that the Jewish people have. Achav goes to Chachmei Yisrael and he says, should I permit him that or not? And the Gemara says, he wants the Sefer Torah, or the Sifrei Torah of Shomron. And the city is lost. And Chachmei Yisrael said to him, no. He sends back a message, you want my wives, you want my children, you want my personal wealth, you can have that. But you're not going to have the Sefer Torah. He doesn't understand what the Sefer Torah means, but he knows that that represents the pride and beauty of the Jewish people. Achav is a Rasha, but at the same time that he's a Rasha, he's a powerful leader. He was extremely successful on the field of battle. He was somebody who, in real sense, gave his life for Christ. There's a great deal of darkness in Achav, but there are flashes of such a brilliant light that Achav, Yonatan ben Uzziel says, do you know who was the man who pulled back on the bow and the arrow flew? It was Hadad Rimmon. And there was a terrible hesped at the loss of Achav, because Klein is so new that they lost a great leader. Not a great Torah leader, by no stretch of the imagination. Great administrator, a great patriot, a man with great courage. The second hesped that the Gemara is talking about is the hesped of Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu, king of Yehuda, though he had been told by Yirmiyahu, let Mitzrayim go through Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't want Mitzrayim on Jewish territory. So he goes out to Megiddo and he meets up in battle with Paro. And he's killed in battle. The one says that they made his body full of holes like a sieve. Yoshio was the great sire. The Pasuk says about Yoshio that there was no king of Yehuda like him. He was the most pious of all the kings of Yehuda. With the death of Yoshiyahu, there was a terrible, terrible hesped in Yerushalayim. Says Rav Kook the following, just as Yosef represents Guf and Yehuda is Neshama, And these are the two life forces, which by right should all be joined in one person, but if they're not joined in one person, and there are different people or groups that each have this life force, the only way in which they will ever succeed in leading Klal Yisrael is in the event that the two join forces, and the two realize how important one is to the other. The Hesped. What's the Hesped going to be in Yerushalayim? That's going to be as terrible a Hesped as the one for Achav and the one for Yoshio. Says the Gemara Masechet Sukkah, you know what Hesped is going to take place in Yerushalayim? The death of Mashiach ben Yosef. Why do we need two Mashiachs? There's a Mashiach ben Yosef, we are told. Mashiach, the son of Yosef, and Mashiach ben David. What do we need two Mashiachs for? Because one of them represents the force that builds Klal Yisrael physically, and the other represents the force that's going to build Klal Yisrael spiritually. One is Yosef and one is David, one is Yosef and one is Yehuda. Chazal say that Mashiach ben Yosef is going to die in battle. And when Mashiach ben Yosef dies in battle, when he falls, all of a sudden, then Yerushalayim is going to realize. Then Yerushalayim is going to realize the great loss. And the Hesped in Yerushalayim is going to be like the Hesped over Achav and the Hesped over Yoshio. Because they will realize at that point that if we would have worked together, if those who are building physical Eretz Yisrael would work together with those who are building spiritual Eretz Yisrael, and each one would appreciate and respect the other's contribution, no force in the world can stand against us. But if each one is going to go in its own direction, and they're not going to work in harmony, then God forbid, Mashiach ben Yosef can fall. When I re-studied this Hesped, I became terribly frightened. Does the death of Mashiach ben Yosef in battle mean that the physical infrastructure of a Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael can be in such grave danger? I would imagine that's what it means. And it's better that we know it now. Because if we know it now, we will take steps to prevent. God forbid, prevent. I know it's Yantif, I know it's the Sabbath of the Hagecha, but there are certain realities. And if we know the realities, if we know them, then we can better prepare for it. Rav Kook says, and he was saying it, of course, in 1904, and he hoped, and we may yet do it, that the two segments of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael are going to appreciate each other's contribution. We may not understand one another. Achav didn't understand what Torah was, but he respected Torah. Chachmei Yisrael were violently opposed to Achav, but they appreciated and they understood Achav's great contribution. We have two parts of one people living in this country. There are moments at which I feel, and by the way, the internal divisions in Klal Yisrael are clearly more frightening than anything else. Because in the event that we could appreciate and understand one another, if we would, yes, that's right, there are those who build Midas Yisrael. Yes, and we say a Mishabera for those who do Midas Yisrael and those who lead the state. We have to appreciate their contribution, something that we couldn't do. Maybe we could have done it, but we didn't do it. There are others who did it. On the other hand, they have to be able to appreciate that a Klal Yisrael without Torah Yisrael loses all significance and all meaning, and for that matter, loses its right to this country. The two life forces, just as the individual has guf and neshama, body and soul, so too does Klal Yisrael have body and soul. And there are two separate groups. There is a group in the middle where they're both, where there's a fusion, where they are working in harmony. There is a group in the middle of those who have both guf and neshama. And that group has to grow in its strength and its influence. Not doing it yet, but maybe it will. Yes, there is the group that fuses there's a harmony and working in tandem of these two. There's no question about it. That these two great forces of Yosef and Yehuda, of Mashiach, Ben Yosef and Mashiach Ben David, have to be able to work together in order to save what has to be saved. We're going to have to let our voices be heard. Maybe it would be encouraging to know, it's the Vilna Gaon who says that Mashiach ben Yosef does not necessarily have to die in battle. Mashiach ben Yosef, we can save Mashiach ben Yosef. I imagine the part that we have to do in saving Mashiach ben Yosef is, of course, we are the spirit. They have to remain. We have to have Jews who have vision, who have spirit, who know why we are here, who still believe in the old history and not in the new history. There are those who have to be able to see the past so that we can anticipate the future. There are people who have to raise their voices. We're going to have to be heard. There are great, great challenges that lie before us in the year, the 2 years ahead, and we're going to have to be strong, we're going to have to be vocal, we're going to have to realize that, yes, at the same time that we appreciate and understand and recognize the accomplishments and the contribution of one segment of the community, but there is something that we add, the life force of a spiritual input into Klal Yisrael, a Klal Yisrael that is going to have vision, that's to know exactly what it's doing, a Klal Yisrael that understands that in the ultimate sense, Sukkos is really the Yom Tov. I always used to love that song, Asuka La Kleina. Remember that song, Asuka La Kleina from Breitel of Gemeina? The ultimate message of Sukkos is, and I'm reaching that point very, very quickly, Ein Lanu Al Mi Lehisha'en Ela Al Avinu Shebashamayim. We have nobody upon whom we can place our trust except the Rebbeinu Shleilam, and he wants to hear us crying out on Hashem Alpha in the morning of Yitz Hashem, Hashana, Rebbeinu Shleilam, we need you desperately. We are entering a period that is fraught with grave, grave danger for the Jewish people, and the healthy sense of cognizance of Shana, Rebbeinu Shleilam, you are the only one. We're going to be there. We'll help you along. We will speak out. We will let our voices be heard. We're not going to be afraid. We're not going to be ashamed that they're going to call us, well, we're part of the Middle Ages. We still believe history from 10, 20, or 50 years ago. But we're going to make our voices heard. I would just like to close by saying that as I was going through the Rav Kook and the Targum Yonatan Ben Uziel, at least it should be a zecha for two others who have fallen in Begat Megiddo. We can't forget that as well. Young boy, young girl, in Begat Megiddo, in the Yar Megiddo, Hesped, the great Hesped of Yerushalayim. So ultimately, we can make certain. We can make certain that Mashiach ben Yosef does not have to die in battle. We can make certain that everything that has built here is going to grow and is going to thrive and will not be subject to the great dangers that we now see before that. But it all depends on the revelation. Yehi Chatzon, that the revelation should guide us all tomorrow, individually, in Klal Yisrael, Pishya Tova, Gemara Chatima Tova.